Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. Good evening, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir, waiting for Maria to call in to help co-host with me tonight, and as I understand, our guest, Wayne Williams Snellgrove, has canceled, so we're going to be winging it this evening. And so, to kill a couple more minutes to allow Maria some time to call in, I'm just going to play something a little goofy.
Are you sitting out there lonely and feeling left out? Do you want to be included in the world of the paranormal, but really don't know how? We have the paranormal solution for you. Call us at 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST. We can deliver everything from a timid spirit that walks the halls or one that simply opens a cabinet door. Or you can get a feisty poltergeist that can trash your house and really liven things up. We can get you as many shadow people as you need to have a party. Do you have too many unwanted friends or family just barging in? Our screaming and wailing banshee will guarantee that after hearing some deafening anguish, they will never return. Impress your friends or take revenge with a specter of death hovering over your dinner table or theirs. Or if you're lonely, you might like a simple attachment that follows you everywhere. EVPs? Choose from our line of celebrity voices. What investigator would not want to hear Jim Morrison or Whitney Houston? Or maybe Michael Jackson or Kurt Cobain? Order now and get 3 free orbs. We are 1-800-RENT-A-GHOST. Not responsible for damage caused by poltergeist activity, divorce, loss of job, sleep deprivation, bedwetting, uncontrolled vomiting, suicide, or the possibility of being hospitalized for insanity. And most important, there will be no returns.
That was our good friend Edwin Becker, who wrote the book True Haunting. And from what I understand, they're making a movie about his story. It's really fascinating. It was the first televised exorcism. It was back in, I want to say 1970 or 1971. Very interesting story. So if you haven't read that book, it's one of the few books, because I don't read like ever, that he sent me a copy and I was like, I could not put it down. It was that awesome. So hats off to Edwin Becker and the production they're doing for that. Looks like we're still waiting for Maria to tune in. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about was this. Oh, and nothing is going as planned this evening. My whole microphone setup is precariously hanging off the edge of my desk. It has this clamp and it just fell during the intro, and I haven't had a chance to try and make it more stable. So it is entirely possible through the course of this podcast that this mic is going to be hitting the floor. So do not panic. I'm okay. It's just everything is falling apart. And that's basically what happens in life from time to time, is things fall apart. And this episode is definitely on the track to be falling apart. But one of the things I wanted to mention tonight and talk about was this big news, this hoax that we should, there was a hoax to raid Area 51. And I'm sure most everybody out there has heard this. Some guy started this Facebook page to raid Area 51 as a joke. And since then, at least 1.5 million people have signed up to raid Area 51, which is incredibly a bad idea. And while I'm not an expert on Area 51, it's a secret facility part of the Nellis Air Force Range where they develop secret aircraft. And throughout the decades, there have been rumors of alien technology and UFOs being studied there. Basically, what started the whole alien thing in Area 51, it was not even recognized by the government until semi-recently that they even had a facility out there. But back in the, I want to say, 90s, a guy by the name of Bob Lazar came out with this fantastical story about how he was contracted out of Area 51 and worked on the propulsion systems of these alien spacecraft. And so people were very skeptical, but it was interesting. One of the interesting things about it was there's various reporters. I think Bob Knapp tried to figure out who this Bob Lazar guy was and did some interesting research into his background. And it's almost like the government erased his background, but they couldn't erase everything. He had some actual documents to show that he was employed at, I think, like some tax returns. Don't quote me on this, from the Department of Naval Intelligence. His name was not erased from this phone book at one of these, what's the lab in New Mexico? I can't remember the name of the lab. Anyways, so this guy was legit. This Bob Lazar was a legit scientist. And some of the things that he was talking about was how he worked on this propulsion system. And, somebody's calling in. Hold on. Sherry.
Hey, what you up to?
Just rolling solo. Rolling.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding. Wow. You want me to join you?
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. I got your message. That's why it's like, okay, there's something going on here. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I'd be happy to help you. That's no problem. It's my show,
all
too.
Right.
But I feel better now. I'll tell you, I was quickly very spent. I've been on tour for the last couple of days, and just really, really, I mean, as a psychic medium, I not only did some Chinese medicine work during the whole weekend, but also, too, I've had a couple people, and I don't mean to make any kind of insinuations or anything like that, but I'm totally drained, and not saying they're psychic vampires, but it's on the verge. So I really needed to get some rest, and I feel better. So I'm going to join you, Jason.
Well, glad you can join me. Well, I was just talking about this whole thing about raiding Area 51, and I was kind of talking a little bit about the background of Area 51 and the physicist Bob Lazar, who made claims that he worked on the propulsion systems there. And so to continue that, he basically said that there is kind of a hill range outside of Area 51 called S4, where they have these hangars that are built into the mountainside, but you can't see them because they're heavily camouflaged. Like the hangar doors are textured like the mountain, so if you look on a satellite photograph, you can't determine that there's anything there. But some of the interesting things that, or one of the interesting things that validated his story was he told some friends, he was aware of when they were going to test fly some of these UFOs and went out in the desert with some friends. And sure enough, at the time that Bob Lazar said they were going to be flying these, they saw these flying UFOs and stuff like that. Fascinating story. There's other things that substantiate what he was telling everyone. So that's kind of the area, the Area 51 deal. It has been used, as well documented, when they were making secret airplanes like the U-2 spy plane and also the SR-71 Blackbird that was researched out there. So they do a lot of security stuff out there. They've got a lot of security. There's a long dirt road that goes out there. There are sensors under the road. That's not a secret. People on videos on YouTube have pulled up the sensors and the devices. And so there's a whole lot of technology to keep people out of Area 51. So are 1.5 million people going to storm Area 51? I kind of doubt it, but it wouldn't surprise me. And Sherry, you know there's a lot of crazy people out in this world. But even if a small percentage go out there, I think it was set to happen in September, I wouldn't surprise me if a bunch of people actually go out there and do this, because people are kind of whack. What do you think about that, Sherry?
It's crazy. I'm going to be honest. I've not been following the Area 51 thing. I was just noticing, trying to stay up as much as possible on most social media. I'm just finding that, trying to connect with nature and writing my book and everything else. So, I can't tell you because I don't know what's going on. I see all these little things when I am on about Area 51, and I just came on, so I have no idea. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what to think. So, crazy, but.
It's the biggest rage on the Internet. It's kind of taken a second seat to this new app out there. Well, this is another topic, this Russian app that ages your face. You upload a picture and it makes you look a lot older.
That's a whole other story. Is it from the Russian app? You're kidding.
Yeah, it's a Russian app, and people are up in arms about it. And I guess some people were looking at the terms of service on the app and saying that you're granting the Russians over there rights to use your pictures and all that. I don't know a whole lot about it, but some people are concerned about it. But
wow, you'd be
anyway,
surprised how many people are using it, because I see, what happens when they are and then what they're not and that kind of thing. So you just never know, what you're doing. Are you selling your soul? I have no idea. It can happen that way, though, too, huh? I didn't know it was a Russian app. Wow, that's crazy, huh?
It is, and actually, I think I do want to touch on that for a second and forget the Area 51 thing. So anyways, let's keep an eye out in September for a bunch of people raiding Area 51. They will shoot to kill. They are authorized for deadly force. But on the app thing, nobody reads the terms of service, including myself. I shouldn't say nobody, but I would say the vast majority of people out there, when they have to sign a term of service thing for an application or from whatever – they don't read it. It's pages long and it's legalese. And I don't know that particular Face app is any different than any other, because usually, with the Facebook application and stuff like that, you're basically saying, hey, use my microphone, use my camera, look at my contacts, blah, 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 blah. I don't know a lot about it. I don't know if that app is any different. I did read an article regarding the Russian Face app that it was not really any different than any other app, but there are people concerned about it. I don't use a lot of apps, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I used to too, but I don't do that anymore, and I'm trying to be very mindful, being very mindful of what I'm doing, how much I'm exposing, and, as it is, our life is an open book. You don't even need to be on Facebook. You don't have to have a Facebook to find out what's going on. And so, it's interesting how, you're no matter what, even on the cell phone, there's so many ways that, people can be snoopy and, get bombarded on personal information. So, but just, being aware and limiting yourself for where you want to be exposed, I think that's the whole key.
Yeah, and Facebook is tracking you even if you don't have a Facebook account, because they have programs embedded in something like 90% of the web pages out there. So if you visit those, it's very difficult to make yourself not trackable. So we're all being tracked. And I know the argument's going to be, well, if you're not doing anything illegal, you don't have anything to worry about. Regardless,
I
don't like it.
I hear that. People say that all the time. Well, I don't have nothing to hide.
Well, I don't want some corporation or government. It's not so much the government as the corporations out there trying to sell your information or sell you things. That's the big problem, not, the National Security Agency watching you. I don't want this profile. They could track what you're doing online and build a profile, what you eat, where you shop, do this, that, that. I don't like the idea of having some sort of digital profile out there that could be used for marketing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It is privacy, and you got to be careful. Just being aware. Yeah, I don't even like it either, but, what are you going to do, Jason? You go shopping, and they know about you.
Yeah. You can't unless you want to live totally off the grid, and the government's making that harder and harder to do, you want to collect your own rainwater, they end up throwing you in jail.
Why are they putting people that want to collect their own rainwater? Why are they throwing them in jail? I don't understand.
I don't know a lot about it. There's people that are making ponds or just simply collecting rainwater. But the reason is the city is not getting their cut. They're not getting their dollar for city water. And I'm sure they come up with some sort of thing about it not being sanitary, or it's taking water away from the watershed and depleting the city's resources. It's probably all that nonsense. But ultimately, like everything in life, it comes down to the dollar.
It is. And monitoring what everybody does.
Yeah,
that's too bad.
We love to spy. But as bad as the United States is,
yeah, it's kind of like you can't even if you own your own house, you can't. You know, the whole thing about that is, you know, when you go and pay your taxes, you know, city taxes, state taxes, road taxes, whatever, you still have to have a permit to build on your own land, even though you're paying your own taxes for your place.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Let's keep the
makes
rich
you not
rich
want to buy a home
power,
or own
power.
A home. You make you want to rent, huh?
Yeah, well, there. I don't know. The world's going to hell. But in terms of global surveillance, you know, the U.S. is bad, but it ain't the worst. I mean, go over to China. Try that. Or North Korea. Boy, they love to spy on you over there.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Well, they're a lot more in your face about it. The U.S. just does stuff secretly. You never hear about it unless people like Edward Snowden, you know, release classified documents. But over in China, it's like, seriously, it's hardcore. They're watching you. They're giving you social scores. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, social scores? Scores? You're kidding.
Yeah, it's like the government lets people rate other people to let the government know if they're like a good person. And then there's other factors. The government inputs information. So if you have a low score, you're denied services or even just put in jail. So there, you could go into a store and you have to use your little thingy to get in the store. And if you're not scoring good, you could be denied service in the store or, like I said, simply put in jail. There is a background check company, I'm not going to mention their name, that is out there that I noticed that if I put in my name or you put in somebody else's name, it issues a score. And it was very similar to what I heard about China, is it's kind of this a reputation score. And so they have these algorithms out there and, you know, to rate people. And I just totally am emphatically against scoring people. You know, creating a digital score for a person.
Yeah, it's wrong, you know, kind of pigeonholing people. It's like everybody's a bunch of cattle and you're just rated, you know, you're just going through and you're rated from, you know, what kind of breed you are kind of thing, right?
Yep. The next thing you know, we'll be planted with RFID chips and all sorts of craziness.
Wow. I was talking to Maria earlier today. It was FaceTiming her, you know, and it was interesting because it doesn't happen until I talked to her, and I was FaceTiming her, like I said, earlier today, and, you know, letting her know that, you know, I was just beat. I mean, just tired, exhausted, energetically, emotionally, mentally, you know, just exhausted and need some rest so she can, you know, cover for me tonight. And, she, you know, I hear this buzzing. She didn't hear it on her side. But on my side, and I want to get your opinion, Jason, I'm hearing like transmitter, like a, almost like a ham radio and you know, kind of weird things like that. And then I almost hear a voice, but you can't make it out. It's really garbled, really, you know, and it sounds like a, you know, like transmission. Somebody's talking, but it's in a different wavelength or whatever, and I don't know. It was really weird. It's kind of like the noise. It's almost like there's a lot of interference. So I'm, you know, she goes, well, maybe it's a spirit or something. And I go, I'm not sure. You know, that first thing I thought, that's not what I thought. you know, with the interruption. It's kind of like, I don't know if, you know, they're listening. Is that a possibility? We're listening on the, on our conversation, because Maria is does investigations for MUFON. She's an investigator. So I don't know if that may have a tie with it or just our conversation, just random. But I asked her, I said, did you hear about, you know, did you hear the interference? And she goes, no, I didn't hear anything. I said, well, I can hear everything plain as day. I couldn't even understand what she was trying to say. Then it was just kind of weird. It's like the antennas or just a lot of interruptions. And then a garble, you know, it's just weird. I have no idea. So what do you think, Jason?
Well, it could just be some sort of interference, or it could be that the Central Intelligence Agency has put some transmitter in your house to monitor you, and it's overriding the signal from your phone.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, it was on not my regular phone, but it was on my cell phone. And I was able to hear it, but she didn't hear it at all. So I'm thinking maybe she was trying to talk to me, but it could be the interference. And, you know, from her, it could be the interference that was going on with her or me. I have no idea. I don't, you know, I've had that before, but that's with her conversation. It's weird. Every time I talk to Maria, something's weird, you know. So it just so happened, you know, I can talk to a friend on FaceTime. I have no problem. You know, sometimes, you know, it kind of freezes or something, a reception or something. But I don't know. I don't know. I just want to bring it to your attention and see what you think.
Well, put it this way. If the government is listening to you, you're probably not going to know about it. They're going to have the expertise and the technology. And, yes, there could be an anonymous bug of them spying, but really, probably not.
It could be interference.
Sort of
and, she, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like, it's, I don't know, it's weird. You know, you just kind of you notice things. And then she said to me today, which was really interesting, because we were FaceTiming until we had that interference. She said, Sherry, she says, where are you? And I go, I just was in the living room. She says, go back. And I go, what do you mean? She said, go back where you're sitting. And so I'm backtracked my steps, showing, you know, she first thought it was like, I thought when she was talking about somebody moving behind me, I thought she was talking about my husband because he was in the kitchen. So I backtrack all my moves, doing what I was going to do, and she goes, stop, you know, and I go, what's going on now? She said, I saw somebody behind you, like walking through, just walking through and just traveling through. I go, really? And she goes, yeah, he was behind you. This person was behind you. I said, cool. I said, well, I don't want them if they don't belong here. She goes, no, I don't think so. They were just traveling through. I have no idea. It does happen, but, you know, I thought, okay, is it, you know, first thing I saw is my, you know, could it be my guardian, my Native American guardian, or could it be my dad? You know, my dad crossed over, and she goes, no, this person seems like it's crossed through, like they were passing through your house. I said, huh, interesting. So. Oh, my gosh. I know I'm protected. Oh, my goodness. The natives of this land. Yeah, they're welcome to protect their land, their sacred land, and the house and the occupants and everything around the property. Yeah, I know that. So I don't need any. It's just brought up to my attention. Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
It's a crazy world we live in. Too bad you can't look back. It doesn't record a video, does it? So you can't look back at it, FaceTime?
No, it doesn't, because I was on FaceTime. She could have recorded on her end because she was looking at me. Oh, I should have asked her. I should ask her. I'm gonna put a bug in her ear. She's not working tomorrow, so I'm going to put a bug in her ear to answer the phone. Maybe she might have recorded on her end. I don't know. That could be a good idea.
Because I use Marco Polo a lot, and it's basically, you know, back and forth video messages, and it saves them so you can look back at them. But it'd be interesting
to
see if, you know.
Huh.
But I don't know. I don't think FaceTime works like that.
Well, you can't. I think you could record it if you wanted to, but I don't know how you do it. There is a way you can record the conversation and everything. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, she saw something right behind me. She says, "What is that?" You know, it's like, really? Okay. I thought it was somebody hanging out, you know, maybe. But no, she said that person or the whatever it was just like passing through. But I've had a lot of paranormal activity in the house and everything. Things have died down, and it's just like I know that, you know, everything's protected and everything's good. And, you know, I just don't give in to fear. That's what people want. So you get into fear, and I've been guilty of it too. You know, get freaked out. Oh, my gosh, is there something wrong? You know, what's the opposite of fear is love. If we can replace fear with love and understand and things like that, it's all an illusion. Fear is an illusion. So.
Well, we do live in a fear-based society, that's for sure.
We do, definitely. Yep. So how was your weekend? How was your week, Jason? I forgot to ask you.
It's been okay. Nothing really substantial going on. Just busy working. That's about it. I did notice something I did want to mention. Something that came across my plate in the news world, in the UFO world, is apparently NASA photographed a planet-sized UFO next to the sun that was subsequently blasted with a huge solar flare and survived. So apparently, now I'm questionable on this. I'm reasonably certain that it is an artifact with the NASA equipment versus a planet-sized UFO, but you never know. We live in a crazy world. There may be a planet-sized UFO next to the sun.
You never know. Exactly. I agree with you. If there are things that we don't know that exist, and, you know, just to say, no, it doesn't, it's maybe never been discovered yet. So how do we know that, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure if it's there, the government would do its best to cover up. And there have been a lot more instances of the space station video feed capturing UFOs, and then the cameras, you know, get cut out. How convenient that, you know, something will be shooting across the horizon from the space station, and then they lose video. So that's always questionable too.
That is questionable.
So a lot of that stuff going on.
Jeez. Yeah, I personally don't know any much about UFOs, and, you know, really my line of interest is not there either. So, this kind of things are kind of streamlining, you know, what I'm doing. And, you know, even though I may have had opportunities to be on paranormal teams or, you know, exposed to UFOs, that's just not my cup of tea right now. For me, my cup of tea is being able to, you know, bring value to other people's lives and, you know, do what I can in the medical Qigong, you know, part and also the psychic and the mediumship. So, you know, I've just kind of learned that, you know, it's not that I don't want to know about UFOs, but it's just not really my broad of interest in having to work in that field. So, yeah.
Well, that's why we're so diverse, because I start salivating at UFOs.
UFOs,
and I'm like, Maria's
paranormal investigations, and she's in UFOs. So she has, you know, that her line of expertise, and it's wonderful because, like you said, we are all versed in different things, you know, and me in Chinese medicine and me in being able to, you know, when I open that door, being able to see a person's life, past, present, and possible future, and being able to connect those that have crossed over. Those are my niches, and I'm staying with that. I love what I do, and I think that's my passion, and that's where I'm supposed to be right now.
Very good. Hey, how about that? Our Facebook page, isn't that crazy?
Oh yeah, I was going to mention about that. Oh my goodness, you're almost 2,000 more now. I don't know now. I don't have my phone in front of me, but Earlier I was looking. We're approaching 1,500 people. If not, we're over by now. I don't know, but Jason, it's amazing.
We're over 16,000 likes, and our posts have still reached over 4 million people in the last week.
You're kidding. Wow.
I'll tell you in a second exactly what it is right now. Yeah, it's snowballing. It's not stopping. I mean, once you get a Facebook page rolling, rolling decent, it just doesn't stop. It slows down and speeds up, but it doesn't stop.
Yeah, I was saying that, we're at the momentum. When we were going at 2,000, I told you it's like I think we're at a momentum now where it's starting to snowball at 2,000 people. And, when I joined you, has it been 4 years? I think it's been 4 years. I think pretty much. When did you start this radio show, Jason? Do you know what month?
It was probably around a year before you came on, or a little more.
Okay. So how long have you been on now? How many episodes have you been on now?
Over five years. 263, and that's missing a few weeks here and there. So I was never good at math. It's over 5 years.
Wow. Yeah, so 4 years, I'm pretty sure 4 years will be in October. And when I joined you guys, and Pat Rice left, I think we're at a little over 1,400. I mean, I don't know exactly, but I remember the 1,400. So we were 1,400 something. And then before Maria came on board, we were at 1,700 before Maria came on board. And I think you're right. I think we're okay. Because we're 4 years. So, yeah, it took us 3 years to get about.
We were at 16,456. And the vast majority of that is just in the last several months. I mean, probably 10,000, probably more than that, more like 13,000 likes within 5 months.
Wow. That's a lot. That's a lot of people. Yeah, you're reaching out a lot of followers. That's great. Yeah, and it's interesting how some people get really offended, and it's not meant to be offensive. You know, it's just things that are random, things that we think maybe you like it. And it just like, if you don't like it, just keep on scrolling on. I know a couple of people were very offended at what you did or what you said or whatever, or what Maria, whatever. Mm. You know, people just get offended easily, and if they take it personally, and it's not supposed to be for entertainment purposes. It's not our feelings, our thoughts, or way of life, or anything like that. Like as we said before, if we can bring a smile or even a laugh, if you can find the humor in it, we've done our job, and if you don't like it, just scroll on, That's what you can do.
Yeah, I've posted a couple things on there that people got bent out of shape. It's never my intent, it's stuff that I think is humorous, and apparently not everybody thinks it's humorous. The vast majority of people think it's humorous, but there's always a couple people that get offended. But, and they say, I'm done with this page or whatever. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, leave this page. But in the next 24 hours after you've left, there's going to be 1,500 new likes. So you won't be missed.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you get that big, you can't please everybody. You really can't. You're going to always find somebody, even with my line of work, you're going to find somebody, I don't like her. She's, not on target, she's phony, whatever. And it's like you just can't let one person stop you. There's so many different factors and, more about them than it is about you. It could be a bad day, or they're having issues in their life, weather, they're not thinking right, psychologically. I'm not saying it is, but maybe they're going through counseling or, have some physical problems and things like that. So that's why you can't take it personally. But if you get too many complaints, you get one complaint after another, then I say, okay, what can I do to make amends, or what can I do to change that situation so it doesn't become a pattern? You want people to see the humor in it but not take offense and you know, at least take responsibility and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I understand, and just move forward. So that's all you can do, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like I've
told
you before.
It's not malicious, I know that. You know, some people just take it the wrong way or are offensive because of something, their own trauma or, you know, their own prejudice or whatever. You know, I can't speak for other people. So, but as long as there's not a pattern to it, then I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, you could post pictures of kittens every day, and eventually somebody doesn't like cats and is going to get offended. I mean, and as the page grows and grows and grows, you know, it's just inevitable. You're going to have people that are reporting posts that don't need to be reported, or they'll just complain and go on these tirades. It's just life.
Yeah, exactly. I don't look at the comments, you know, I really don't, because I, you know, like I said, I maybe, Jason, and this is maybe a situation, a suggestion, is that maybe you can pin a post that, you know, anything of our, you know, any of the mimes are not meant to be derogatory or personal to anybody. It's just for entertainment purposes, and if you can get a chuckle or a smile to your day and see the human humor in each and every post, then we did our job to make your day better. Maybe you can put a post that, so when people see it and it's pinned, meaning that it's on top, you know, people are not going to be offensive or look for something wrong with it.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
Yes.
I just still think some people,
you know,
are ridiculous.
I think that would be a good idea if you can do that, Jason. You know, just something short, you know, just short paragraph, and pin the post so people can see. Okay, you know, and then when they scroll down, they're not going to, oh, my God. But there, like you said, there's going to be somebody that, oh, that's just not the way to think. Or, you know, like I said, just can't take it personally unless it's, you know, a repeated pattern with a lot of people. So, but, no, I'm really happy with you. You started the group. And I'd like to see it continue and, you know, knock on wood and literally pray to God. You know, I'd be happy to be there, part of your journey and everything, because this is yours. You built it to what it was nothing. And I want to celebrate with you and build it even bigger if I can help it.
Well, it wouldn't be what it is today without you. It's a team effort.
You mean without both of us? I don't want to take responsibility, okay? Like I say, we all have our part, but you and I, we complement each other's skills and everything. So we work hand in foot, just like, you know, man and wife on radio. But with Maria in the mix, it adds a really good variety, and she can. You know, she's wonderful. She's great as a teammate. She can help fill in when she's supposed to. I'm going to dig her on that one. And, yeah, she's a good asset. Asset.
Send all legal correspondence to Maria.
She can deal with this stuff, and she does all the you know, for iHeart. Oh, yeah, that's another thing about iHeart. You know, we can't say Paranormal Horizons. We need to open lines or something.
That's funny. So, yeah,
so we do the hashtags. She does the hashtags, or you can do them, but, you know, yeah, Spotify, and they want really good hashtags instead of just Paranormal Horizons, so... Yeah, you can listen to us on major podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio now. So, yeah, everything is all being recorded, and you can always go back to the archives, even on Blog Talk Radio. So it's all good.
It's all good. It's going nowhere but up. It's been
Yes, definitely. Let's talk about, I don't care, we could talk about UFOs, even though I'm not very versed in that, but what else can we talk about besides conspiracy theories?
Well, I'll spare you the UFOs and conspiracy theories. Those are my two most knowledgeable subjects.
Okay.
But we could talk about anything. Talk about ghost hunting. I see. I don't know anything about the psychic sort of thing. I mean, you know, I'm a skeptic, but I know about ghost hunting because I've done it, and I know about UFOs and conspiracy theories. But I don't know anything about being sensitive or talking to the dead. I'm nothing about that. I don't know anything about it.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Yeah. And you know what, Jason? I don't think I ever really have read you, have I? Not that I want to, but. You know, I think, I don't know, have I ever read you or did any medical or anything like that on you, like the medical intuitive stuff? No, yes, whatever?
I don't think anything's been in depth.
Okay.
Let me, am I going to live much longer? Can you read that?
I think you will. I think you will. But I think that the reason why you're having some ish family, not family, some medical issues is that I think knowing you, I think they're stemming from a lot of emotional and mental stuff that you haven't dealt with. And they have already manifested physically. There's a couple things that I see that are injuries that have never been taken care of, but a lot of it I think is mental and emotional. And I think I don't know if I want to go on detail, but I can go in detail in a personal reading. I'd be happy to share with you. But
yeah,
I think
that'd be kind of scary.
It's bringing you to an attention of taking care of yourself. And, you know, your back stuff, you know, it's kind of like, wow, what are you going to do? I know you have some back injuries and some back stuff and discs and things like that. And sometimes if you leave, I don't know how you are, if you're active or inactive. I'm going to say this. I can only speak for myself. I would have chronic back pain, lower back pain, unless I do yoga. I do yoga. I try and do it every other day. I can't do it all the time every day, but I try and make it a point to do yoga, if not every other day. At least, you don't have to do yoga. But stretching out, can I show you on video how to stretch out and open up the back, open up the ligaments and tendons surrounding the spine to help ease a certain, maybe ease some, discomfort and things like that. But I'm going to say I'm not a medical doctor. As a disclaimer, I cannot prognose or diagnose. I can only make suggestions of what happens to me. And maybe you can try it, but again, you will need to make sure that you have approval from your doctor. And that's, if anything, making sure your doctor can, you know, be okay with that. So, and if you don't believe in your doctor, right, then that's fine with you. That's your own prerogative. But I want to make sure that I can make suggestions, but not tell you what to do without the legal advice of your doctor, psychiatrist, or, you know, those kind of things. Okay?
Just for the record, I do not have a psychiatrist. So basically, you don't want to tell me what to do.
You'd be surprised who does.
So you tell me
Thank
what to
you.
Do, and the next thing, I can't
but,
feel
you know,
my
legally,
leg.
Legally, you got to protect yourself. And by saying this on air, I'm admitting that you got to follow your doctor. And if that's okay, it's okay. If they're not, you know, that's your prerogative. So yeah, it's that's another thing. Conspiracy theory can fall under. You know, sometimes doctors are wonderful. I've had good doctors, but sometimes doctors can do more harm. It's up to the patient that is being treated to take control of their health, educating, being discerning, and really taking control of their health. So I believe in both. I believe that we do need allopathic medicine. I do believe we need alternative medicine. And if we can conjoin both of them when it's the right moment, then that's great. But I'm not one to say, you know, I can see the advantage and disadvantages of both.
Well, I did eat some fruit today, so I guess you could say that I'm pretty serious about taking care of myself.
And what did you have, a banana or an apple or blueberries, or what did you have?
I had a fruit bowl, and it had tangerines and strawberries.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But
wow,
I have to confess, for breakfast I went to Elmer's and had a Belgian waffle and eggs and bacon.
Good for you. Once in a while, fine. I mean, everybody's body's different. And that's what we notice in Chinese medicine is that everybody responds to different things, different stimuli, different foods, different weather conditions. You know, everybody, literally everybody is different. So that's why Chinese medicine is so tailored and customized. When I was a makeup artist, I got into custom blending foundation. And I loved it because I was able to literally build the foundation, you know, different core colors, but actually blending. It was kind of scientific, but blending the foundation to the exact match of not the face, but the neck area. So that when the person actually put their makeup on, you could not see one line from the other. It was blended real well.
I didn't know that you were, what were you in a makeup artist for? Like, was it
models?
Just...
That was my main thing. I did that for 14 years. I was a makeup artist for models and models who were working for their book, you know, professional models. I would go in and work with the different freelance photographers and would go and do their makeup and hair. And I didn't like hair because that's the reason why I was an esthetician. But a lot of the places when you're doing a photo shoot, headshots, getting your book ready, you know, that kind of thing, they didn't want to pay for a hairdresser. So you had to pretty much wing it to get their styling. You know, you don't cut hair. I didn't cut hair. I just styled the hair, blow dry their hair, put hairspray and, you know, be creative and doing different outfits and things like that. And then I went into commercials. So I've done Nike commercials. I've done Calvin Klein commercials. I've done Henry Weinhardt commercials. I've done political commercials for people that were running for senators, Congress, those kind of things. So, yeah, I had my gamut. And then I've done print where I did Ski Magazine and a couple other print, we call print for magazines, and it was really good. So, yeah, I had my stint, and I just decided to get out of it because, you know, I got tired of always putting airs on, you know, pretending something I'm not, and always having to be dressed up to the hilt and playing the part and everything else. And the fact also, too, is that makeup artists were a dime a dozen. You didn't have to go to school and become an esthetician to be a makeup artist. So instead of getting paid $75 an hour at the time, they were paying their people, the crew would be paying their people $25, $45 an hour. So, you know, that it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's time for me to get out. I know what I'm worth. And I had my own book as a makeup artist. That's how I got hired. I started out in Estee Lauder and Revlon and Lancome and those kind of things. Other part. That was my past life. That was my previous life before I went into school in Chinese medicine.
That sounds fascinating. I have a funny makeup story if you want to hear it. I don't know that I've ever told you.
No, yeah, I've never heard that. Anything, I want to hear it.
So back in the day, before I was so fat, although I'm not terribly obese, you would do commercials and print and a few movies, you know, as extras or more, you know. And so I got booked to do this commercial. It was when Best Buy was first coming to the state of Oregon. And so it was at the coast, and the idea of it was that I would be standing literally on a cliff at the Oregon coast with the big blue Best Buy guy pondering the vastness of the Northwest as the sunset comes down, blah, blah, blah. But before that happens, I get there and they're in an RV and the makeup and everything. Well, before I had left to drive to the coast, I had shaved myself clean, which wasn't what they wanted. You know, they wanted a big rustic looking man. So I got there, I was clean shaven, and they were trying to figure out how to make me look not so clean shaven. So they had these little squares of chocolate, you know, like the Crackle bars, you know, the individual things, you know?
Oh,
you know
yes,
what I'm talking about?
I remember those, yes.
So they throw them in the microwave, and then, of course, the microwave starts sparking and stuff like that. And so they're smearing melted chocolate on my face. So they do that. I couldn't see their handiwork, but I had chocolate all over my face. Then I hear a walkie-talkie like, okay, send the Northwest guy down. So the way they dressed me was in a full-body leather suit. You know, like something from hundreds of years ago where it's like, you know, it's all skins and stuff like that, and it's got the frillies down the arms and legs,
mm-hmm.
like Indian suede, I don't know, whatever it is. So I had to walk down this really, really long path to the chute at this cliff. And I'm walking by myself, and they actually gave me a coonskin hat. And I'm walking down this path. Well, there's other people there, and they don't know what's going on. So I'm walking down looking like a complete psycho. And this lady is walking up and with her kid on this path. And I'm just walk right by her. And they're like looking at me like I'm like serial killer, crazy person. And she didn't even have to say anything. I looked at her as I walked by and I said, I don't normally dress like this. And she said, I didn't think you did. And then I made it all the way down to the where they were shooting it. It was really funny.
Oh, that's funny. Oh my goodness. Were you an extra or did you get paid really well or how?
I don't even remember on that one. No, it was just me and the Best Buy guy. I guess it's not really an extra on that one. I was in this movie called Feast of Love with Morgan Freeman and Greg Kinnear. And in that one, I was like the mover moving Greg Kinnear out of his house. And then
Prince
at the Rose Garden. And, you know, I'm a big, scary-looking dude, so it was usually when they want a big, scary-looking dude is the kind of stuff that I would get.
That's crazy. Yeah, you would probably fit pretty well. If you ever needed work, that's the way to go, huh? Be an extra.
Yeah,
maybe you might get a part.
But I kind of gave up on it. Kind of grew out of it, and it's hard when you actually have to have a regular job and work hours, and because usually the way that business works is you don't get a lot of notice. They're like, hey, can you do this, you know, tomorrow or later today, and you know, I would be stuck at work or having to work.
Oh wow, that's crazy. Wow. Yeah, I've never been an extra before, and so well, yeah, I'll tell you, when you're doing, you know, like when you see, like, as an example, Long Island Medium, or you're doing the Dead Files or whatever, those kind of shows, and from working from behind the scenes, what you see are the best parts. You don't see the long hours that are filming. You don't see that they take the best takes. It's retakes and retakes and retakes. It's very time-consuming and very daunting. So when they do show it on air, you're seeing the best parts and, you know, what happens and things like that. So, you know, people are – what is presented is kind of deceiving in a way, unless it's like, you know, ad-libbing it. But, yeah, sometimes when you do an interview, they take different takes or you blubbers and things like that. So I'm in a commercial, and I remember doing just a commercial for politics when you're going to have the elections. We would spend literally a week to just do a 90-minute cut on a commercial, a 90-minute commercial, a week.
That's a long time.
Yes, yes,
definitely. The cool thing about movies and commercials is they feed you really well. I had some of the best food ever on the sets of a movie or commercial. I was on the set of Twilight, you know, that stupid vampire movie.
Right.
I was there for 18 hours, and they ended up not using me But it was the first time that I got to eat beef Wellington, and it was delicious.
Oh, my gosh, you're kidding.
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
I literally sat around for 18 hours waiting to be called. They held, like, it was two or three of us that they were thinking about using us for something, and I don't know what scene it was, but yeah, we just sat around for 18 hours. Man, that was a long day. It was a long drive on top of that.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and a lot of times if they're doing a big cut, you know, they're supposed to not only feed you, but also put up with you in hotels and things like that. But sometimes, you know, they don't do that. It just depends, a lot of it depends on their budget. So, you know, it depends on the production company. It depends on what you're, you know, who you're with. Like the Librarians, you've heard of the movie? I've never seen it, or the show The Librarians. That is filmed in Forest Grove. And apparently, I don't know, but, you know, they have their extras. They go through an extra agency, and they pick out who they want. And I, like I said, I don't know. I've been out of it for at least 17 years now, so you know, it's been a while. But yeah, it's interesting how they go through that. And a lot, like I said, a lot of it's the budget. Absolutely, the budget. You get a good film,
it's a lot of,
you know, direct. You don't have to worry about it.
Yep. It's a lot of fun, as you know. Well, I'm actually thinking I got to go get some dinner, and I know we're wrapping up with time. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't. I don't, and I believe Maria's got a guest for next week, so I don't know who it is or anything, but I don't know if you told the audience, the listeners or anything, but Wayne, let's put him in his prayers. The reason why he is not available is that he texted me earlier today, and all of a sudden something happened with his mother. They had to rush her to ER, and she's in the hospital now. So I told him, don't worry. That's the last thing you want to worry about, is come on our show when you got, you know, that something that, you know, catastrophic. And I don't know what the circumstances or anything like that, but please keep him in your prayers and hope that he's going to be okay and his mom's going to pull out of it, whatever the condition she has. So I will go, and as soon as I find out a little bit more, I will reschedule him. We were going to be scheduled for an hour and a half because he has a lot of wisdom, Native American wisdom, that he wanted to share. And, it, you know, I was really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, prayers out to his mom. And with that, I guess we'll close her out. I want to thank everyone for listening and putting up with our ad lib show this evening, and maybe you learned something about Area 51 and being an extra. Talk about random.
Yes, and a little bit about us, you know, about Jason and I. We have Jason and I come from very colorful past. And, you know, thank you for listening, and we just continue to hope that you follow us on Facebook and support us. And again, don't take anything personally. I'm going to go put a bug in Jason's ear and have him put a post on and tag it or pin it, so that those that we don't lose anymore. It's one of those that we want to, you know, be an open page and have a little bit of laughter and have a little bit of smiles to your day, okay?
Sounds good, and I will get to that. So with that, we'll see everybody next week, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And thank again everybody listening and liking us on Facebook. And with that, we'll see everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Peace. Bye-bye.